Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks Podcast, the independent soccer show bringing you opinionated English Premier League analysis. Here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
You are listening to another edition of the Two Daft Yanks Podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, coming to you from the Mile High Two Daft Yanks Studios, and hopefully coming out of the permafrost and the spring weather that he may or may not be having. It's Corey up in the polar Two Daft Yanks Studios. How are you doing, Corey?
Yeah, well, you unwittingly gave me the perfect segue because, yes, we are in the midst of what is called the melt up here in Alaska. But because of the melt, when all the dust gets in the air, you know, instead of pollen, we have all that glacial dust that comes out this time of year. And because of that, my sinuses are all over the place and I'm feeling under the weather. So, you know, I'm going to be even a little more snifflier than normal. So for that, I apologize to everybody out there. But yeah, so I've been dealing with a cold for the last few days because of all the freaking dust in the air and the melt. And it's crazy.
All right. Well, Corey has cowboyed up and he's here at the show. So let's get going and let's talk some footy. Of course, as you know, we're smack dab in an international break. All the games are over, so now we can set our sights to club football. And it's been a few days since we talked to you. We traditionally take the break during the international break as well and come back to you midweek. And for the sake of everybody's health, this is going to be a U.S. men's national team free show. So let's get another round of applause for that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, because I was going to say my mediocre performance possibly tonight is, you know, probably going to be reflective of our U23 team last night.
So. Okay, come on. I said no talk about that. Leave that at the door.
It's not talk. It's just a statement.
It's just a snide comment made towards kids.
Yeah.
You're so mean.
Yeah, get off of my lawn. get off my lawn, you MLSers.
So, all right. So, since we last talked to you late last week, the news broke, Corey, and that is that we lost a football legend and former...
In the true sense of the word.
Yes, a real legend.
Yes.
And we'll get into more on that, and that is with the passing of Johan Cruyff.
Yeah, I mean, I was late to the party that day. Well, you know, poor use of phrase there. I was late to the news that day because, you know, a lot of times I don't get to the Twitter or, you know, news until about lunchtime, Alaska time, which is, you know, mid-afternoon on the East Coast. So I found out after everybody else. But, yeah, once I did, it was a pretty depressing rest of the day because, you know, Cruyff is, like I just said, he was a legend in – the true sense of the word, not just every, you know, like everybody who plays longer than a couple years at a club now is called a legend. But, you know, obviously there were a bunch of good articles out there that were, that I was glad to see because sometimes you never know in the modern age, sometimes because of the stardom, you know, people's, what they brought to the game or to the sport sometimes, you know, maybe isn't as appreciated, but you know, I don't say it lightly, but in the terms of the long term of the sport, you could argue, or you know, in my opinion, you can make a good case that Cruyff was arguably more important to soccer than Maradona or Pele was, especially if you like the up tempo, you know, passing beautiful game that we all enjoy today.
Yes, and I've never seen so much outpour of admiration and tributes to one person. I mean, we see it all the time, and especially in entertainment and sports. But universally, this man was revered both as a player and a manager.
Yeah, and somebody at work, when I was telling them, you know, when they caught me reading an article at lunch, and I was trying to explain to them what a loss it was to the sport, and, you know, trying to make an American comparison. And I was like, well, you can't really make there is no comparison because, you know, the only comparison I could remotely come up with, it would have been like the NBA losing, you know, Jordan, Pat Riley, and or you know, Jordan, what's the coach that won all the titles with the Lakers? The Zen guy.
Phil Jackson.
Yeah, thank you. It would have been like losing Jordan, Jackson, and Stern all in the same day. And even that's not even a good comparison.
No, it's pretty lousy.
Yeah, but as I'm saying, that's there really is no comparison because, again, American sports is, you know, really only America cares about it. So, and it was kind of what I was intimating when I tweeted, you know, that every country has a Landon Donovan, not every country has a Johan Cruyff. And Cruyff is one of the few people, Pelé and Maradona being the others, you know, Messi, Ronaldo now, that can truly stake a claim to influencing the entire world, not just their team, not just their club, not just their country, but the entire world. And in Cruyff's case, an entire generation of coaches that decided, hey, instead of trying to win the game defensively and playing bunker ball and Catenaccio, we can play defensively in an offensive sense and, you know, still and actually score goals and win games that way.
Yeah, so obviously he had that upbringing coming in that Dutch system with the total football, and that's what he brought to his management style as well. And I know that you mentioned to me that, and I'm glad I heard this, many people may not know that Cruyff managed Barcelona in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And Pep came out and had some nice words, and I think if you remember the quote, go ahead and give it to the listeners.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact quote, so I'll paraphrase it. But, Pep basically said that Cruyff painted the Sistine Chapel, all the Barca managers that came along afterwards, we've only just restored it.
So there we go. Yeah, so that's enough. So let me just run down some of his accomplishments as a player and a manager, Corey. And I may have to take a few breaths in between because it's a rather long list.
Yes, it's pretty lengthy.
This is pretty crazy. So as a player, 9 Dutch League titles with Ajax, and then what? Feyenoord was the last team that he played with there. Mm-hmm. So 9 Dutch League titles, 6 Dutch Cups, 3 European Cups, 1 La Liga title, and then 1 Copa del Rey as a player. So that's only a measly, my math, 15, 18. That's just 20 trophies as a player. That's all. Just 20 in Europe, in top leagues in Europe.
Yeah, 20, and they arguably could have had more at Ajax, but he left, you know, at a time when they were at their peak.
That is right. And then as a manager, he adds more silverware to his trophy cabinet. He's got 2 Dutch League titles, 2 UEFA Cup winner cup titles, 4 La Liga titles, and then 1 European Cup. And that's as a manager. So just think about that. To kind of define your sport for generations in the style of play, the goal-scoring exploits, and then to bring that over at the highest level as a manager and be able to do that. We don't see that in many sports because, you know, obviously great players have that talent. And when they become coaches in their profession, that they expect everybody to kind of be like them, right? And they can't speak to that common player to get them to that next level. But he had that ability.
Yeah, because Cruyff is definitely one of the few athletes that was able to translate his playing ability to his coaching ability because, you know, I have a theory that, you know, somebody who's better at research and maybe sociology or some other pertinent field of study, I wish they would study this, but my theory of why great players usually don't make great coaches is because great players are usually on the field all the time. So they only have the one perspective, and bench players usually make, or you know, they're in the action. So they only have that one point of view, where bench players or part-time players usually make the better coaches in the long run because they're off the field more often and they get to see the whole picture more often. Again, that's just my theory, but, you know, anecdotally, I think all the great managers or most of the great managers and coaches in other sports, they were generally, you know, maybe all-star level or kind of journeyman at best. But so like I said, that was the other thing that was amazing about Cruyff, is that he was arguably as good of a coach as he was a player, which is pretty outstanding, you know, which is pretty, you know, unbelievable, since he's, you know, widely considered the third best player of all time, or at least from the older generation behind Maradona and Pele.
Of course. And we don't have this linked up on the blog yet, but you could go to Two Daft Yanks, and in this podcast, I know, Corey, you sent me just an outstanding video that breaks him breaking down his tactics in Dutch on a chalkboard. And it's just, you could see, I mean, there's some things probably lost in the translation, but you could tell his passion for the game and his knowledge of the game and his philosophy. And when I watched that, how he was explaining things, you know, this modern type of football, of this pressing, offensive-based systems, it's basically the systems in some ways where Liverpool's using now under Klopp. Pochettino certainly using it at Spurs. A little bit of Wenger in there too offensively. So all of these attacking systems have their basis in what he kind of helped establish long ago.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that that, you know, even though I never saw him play, I don't know if influence is the right word, but one of the things that I always admired about Cruyff is that you could tell, you know, even though he was hard-headed, even though he, you know, he had the stubbornness that some people don't like when it comes to certain, you know, geniuses or athletes or very successful people, that one of the things that is, or, you know, that was depressing about losing a guy like Cruyff is that he was somebody who thought the game. And that's something that a lot of, you know, sometimes a lot of good athletes don't get the credit for, is that, you know, especially from the academic world, there's this idea that if you're an athlete, well, then you're stupid, or, you know, you're only of average intelligence because, you know, you can only do something athletic. When the truth of the matter is in reality, to be really good at any skill or endeavor, you have to have some sort of intelligence, and to then take that intelligence and be able to influence other people in an innovative sense, that's true intelligence. It's not book, you know, it's not book learning. It's not, you know, what you're taught. It's that, you know, whether you want to call it instinct or, not to directly invoke religion, but, you know, the spark of God or whatever you want to call it, that just that creativity that some people have and some people don't. But to be able to apply that and teach that, like I said, that to me, that's true intelligence. And that, like I said, that's one of the big losses to me about Cruyff, is for all his ability as a player and a coach, it's that thinker. You know, we also lost a soccer philosopher, if you will.
Yeah. So we'll track down that video and get it linked. I'm pretty sure I could find it, but if not, do you think you'll be able to find it?
Yeah, because I might still have it in my email inbox. So I'll have to check.
Okay, great. But it's an outstanding video, and I recommend everybody watch it, because you'll get a feel, and you'll see right there, modern tactics, and he explains them and why they should do what they do. It's quite amazing. Now, we all know that Cruyff, in his playing days when he was on the international Dutch team, and those iconic orange uniforms, right? He was number 14 in the orange. And, they had a little mix-up there in the English media. And I want to say, I don't remember who, but I think it was The Guardian, because these two media guys were talking about it, the overnight show on Talk Sport, which is excellent, by the way, the two mics. And they were laughing that on the back page of The Guardian, in their tribute to Cruyff, they had a picture of somebody in an orange shirt, but it was number 15, the wrong player. It was the wrong guy. He kind of looked at him. He had like the same type of haircut, you know, that 60s style haircut that everybody had.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they dropped the ball there. So Cruyff, orange, 14. Don't forget it.
Yeah, which I don't that must have been a young intern because people our age, you know, if you somehow forgot Cruyff was number 14, well then you must have been really, really, really drunk.
Well, maybe. Maybe the guy was out in the lash. Because, you know, those copy editors that prepare those papers, that's a late night job, like midnight, 2 a.m, something like that. It's possible. It's very, very possible. So there we go. So there's the talk on Cruyff. All right, moving on. And there's really, you know, I mean, we could really end the show here.
Yeah, pretty much.
But there's more to talk about. And so we'll keep going out of the love for the game because he'd want us to do that, to talk about the game. And so let's talk about England, Corey. Not England the country, but England the league, the Premier League. And I opined this on Twitter, if you remember, during that epic tie between Juventus and Bayern Munich in the knockout round. Juventus coughed it up late, right? Got knocked out. And I said, hey, if you're a fan of English, the Premier League, and you want them to keep that fourth spot, you probably want Juventus to bow out here. This is good for the long-term health of England. And it was with, I do believe, Juventus. Who else? Napoli. I've got the other club here, too. Hold on. Oh, did I lose it? I lost the link. You got to be kidding me. No, here it is. Sorry. With Roma, Juventus, and Lazio all out of European competition, and with Manchester City, the only ones advancing out of England, right? They're the only ones left. Them and Liverpool, I guess. The coefficient for England is going to stay above Italy, and so the Premier League will retain the fourth place spot, which is that play-in game or the playoff spot for the Champions League for two more seasons. So, hey, a lot of people just a sigh of relief and a round of applause for that. And that was a lot of rambling.
Yeah, like a trophy keeps the spot.
That's true. So it's good news for Arsenal because God knows without that fourth place spot, Arsenal would be in a bit of trouble financially probably.
Yeah.
So maybe we should just call that the on like the Wenger. I don't know. How can we get Wenger involved in this somehow? And I'm trying to think of a funny name. Anyway. That be said, I can't do it. So that fourth spot is going to be there for the next 2 years. And then that 17-18 season is key because it's the last season that the Champions League is going to look like it does now because all these money-grabbing dirtbags are trying to change the rules. And they are going to change the rules. It's going to happen, as we talked about, to where the big clubs have decided, hey, we don't care if Leicester City wins the league. They don't deserve to be in the Champions League. So we're going to change the rules to make sure that only the big clubs can, because the rest of Europe, the big clubs in Europe, are upset about the amount of money that the TV revenue the English clubs are bringing in. So they're going to gerrymander the rules so they can get a piece of the pie. It's pretty sad, if you ask me.
Yeah, because it takes away, you know, part of the true spirit of competition, and that, you know, like everything else in life, inevitably the people with the money, you know, make the rules, and they're inevitably going to monkey the rules to where they get themselves in positions perpetually to make more money.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's going to be something like there's going to be 16 clubs that are going to be admitted into the Champions League every year, regardless of where they play, where they finish in their domestic tables, which is ridiculous. And then they're going to introduce – so this is scary too, a very much an American term, Corey, wild card spots. There's going to be wild card spots where little tiny teams like Leicester, who suck and have no business, you know, winning titles or being near the title this late in the season, they'll have their way to get in through a wild card spot.
Yeah, could we just go ahead and start calling this something like, you know, the patronization place or something like that?
Yeah.
Or the
yeah.
Leicester City's currently leading the patronization pool.
It's kind of like in the college football where they give the token BCS bowl slot to the other. Oh, well, the other conferences, you know, the group of eight or whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah, or like the 1 year. Oh, yeah. You want to go to BCS bowl? Okay. Y'all got to play each other.
Oh, yeah. When they did that. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, the 1 year that the two non-BCS people made it the same year. Okay, play each other. Wow, wait a minute.
Yeah. And that's what would probably happen to Lester.
Wait a minute. This is just a fancier kids table.
Yeah, exactly. So the Americanization of European soccer is not good. And it's going to happen, unfortunately. But hopefully we'll see what happens here. But for at least for the next two seasons, things will be status quo, and England will retain its fourth spot, which is huge. But I guess it doesn't matter now, right? Because if they're just going to make up their own rules, the coefficients are pretty much out the window. So we may never have to utter the word coefficient ever again once they, you know, pass whatever rules they're going to pass to where, hey, Chelsea got relegated. What happens if one of these clubs gets relegated to their second division? Are they still going to be in the Champions League? That'd be awkward.
Well, why not? I'm sure they'll just rebrand it to something.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, questions nobody's asking, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not sure what else to say other than, you know, obviously, the TV money has changed the game, and for all the talk of the domestic money, it's basically the money that teams have made in Europe over the years that have allowed them clout. But, you know, this is inevitably the byproduct of the G14 from, you know, the mid to late 90s. So, as we've said before on this show, and I believe on the prior incarnation of the podcast too, maybe, you know, it's just a, like I said, this was basically one of two things was going to happen. Either they were eventually going to break off and do their European Super League, or they were going to have, you know, some sort of bastardized Champions League where they were going to give in a lot much more clout than the other teams. And obviously the latter has been chosen basically to give a tiny modicum of, maybe hope's the wrong word, but, you know, to give a false sense of competition to the likes like Leicester and, you know, like I said, basically pat them on the head and, oh, look here, here's your chance to win, when it's not really a legitimate chance to win by letting, you know, these clubs still participate, but basically stacking the deck against them before they even get started, which is already technically the case anyway. Since, you know, if you're a club from Latvia, you basically got to go through four qualifying rounds already as it is.
Yeah, and I'm glad you just mentioned that, Lee, because that is the what's out there now, what I've read, and what sounds like is going to be the way they're going to go. It's interesting. I believe it's a better format than what we have now. It's just the way they're going to do it. So there's going to be 16 teams, right, in this final group stage is what they're calling it. But instead of groups, it's going to be two mini leagues of eight, so that you're going to get 14 extra games. And then the top four from each league, or maybe they'll just take all 16 and seed them at that point. I don't know. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to split it. They're going to have more playoff rounds to get to a group of 16 that are going to split off into two groups of eight, and they're going to have mini leagues through there to get more money. And that's what it's all based on, is because the TV money for that will be insane. Playing home and home. I mean, think, if you have a chance to play a home and home with seven of the top clubs in Europe every year, that's a pretty good money-making event.
Yeah, which also we have to remember, more games, more playoff rounds, and at a time when we're supposedly all concerned about player safety too. So kind of like the NFL, oh, we're concerned about concussions, yet every time, you know, coaches and fans turn their back, they, you know, they try and slip that 18 game season in on everybody.
Yeah. So yeah, this Champions League's reform is going to be very interesting to follow over the next year and a half, however long it takes for them to decide what they're going to do. And So yeah, there's really nothing we can do about it. That's just the bottom line. They're going to do what they're going to do. So it's pretty daft. So with that said, I think we should get into some This Week in Daftness, Corey, because it's been a while since we've done it.
Yeah, we'll say before you gong that out or before we switch, that just means I watch even less Champions League than I already do. So,
okay. And and you know what their gamble is?
That all the people from Asia and Africa are going to – and the emerging markets are going to take up the slack for people like me.
Exactly. You're going to be the minority. And everybody else will watch. So there you go. So, all right, let's gong this out and let's bring in our favorite British announcer lady.
Two Daft Yanks presents This Week in Daftness.
We need the guts to play football.
Ryan Giggs, do you think he should be a part of the future of Manchester United?
It's a stupid question, I think. It's a stupid question.
Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
How daft.
All right, and we have a lower league This Week in Daftness for you this week. And since Corey's the one who discovered this gem, he gets to explain it. So, Corey, let's lay down some This Week in Daftness.
Yeah, I'm not I don't recall which division this club was in. I want to say it was the ninth division when I checked. I don't remember the league. It was one of the county leagues or one of the, one of the regional leagues in England. But it was a club called Sleaford Town. And apparently there was a break in the Twitter updates during this club's match that lasted pretty much until it started around the 65th minute and basically went on to the end of the match. And the reason why there was nearly a half an hour break from the Twitter feed for this club's Twitter account was the guy running the Twitter account got put on as a sub. I mean, how great is that? How great is lower league football when the guy running the Twitter account gets to play?
That's right, and I do have some research here for you, live on-air research. So Sleaford Town Football Club, their nickname is the Greens because they wear green home kits. Their capacity of their stadium, Elsa Ford Park, 1,000, and they play in the United Counties League, which is in the Premier Division of the United Counties League, which is they were 19th last year. I don't know. Let me see what level the United Counties League is in. I don't even remember hearing that.
I'm putting money on ninth.
There we go. It's the ninth and tenth division.
Yeah.
So good job.
Ninth level of the pyramid.
That's right. So that is the case. And I don't even know what happened. Did they win? Do we know?
Oh, I forgot. But I just remember the tweet basically saying sorry about the lack of Twitter updates ending the game, but I got put on as a sub for any name the guy's name in the 65th
I've
minute.
I've got the tweet here, and you can find this on our website on the This Week in Daftness. Just click the link. It says, sorry for the break in tweets. I came on as a sub for Millard. Other subs were Anderson for Millington and Hollingsworth for Wright.
Yeah, kit ladies on kit ladies in net next week. Or tea ladies
tea
in
lady.
Net.
Yeah, the tea lady.
Tea ladies in net. The kit man's up top.
Yeah. Which is possible. So this leads me to believe, now, hopefully, for the sake of some players and maybe some people in the front office and MLS, hopefully they don't catch on to this money-saving technique. Right? Just think if MLS figures out, hey, we could get some of these schlubs on the bench to run our social media account, right? They're making $30,000 a year anyway, right? They should be doing more.
Would we actually be able to tell? I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know. MLS might want to look into this as a cost-saving measure. Have the social media guy be on the bench.
Yeah, well, like I said, would we be able to tell? Because some of the MLS social media is pretty amateurish as it is.
Yeah. So that's This Week in Daftness, and that went pretty viral a lot of places. I'm sure most of you have already heard about it, but we could not let that pass up.
Yeah, the best response in that thread was he should have brought his phone on and live tweeted during the match.
or periscoped it.
Yeah.
Put on his attach his phone to his head with like a GoPro.
GoPro. GoPro with Siri voice activated tweets.
There we go. That'd be great. Oh boy. All right. Now next topic here, and this is an interesting one, Corey. And I want to give credit to one of our loyal listeners / Twitter followers, but I can't find the tweet because I forgot to bookmark it. But we were having a discussion, and this is to tie in the club football with the international football. Now, we were talking about USA Matters when he brought this up, but I think this applies to everybody. And so it's a worldwide phenomenon, and this is why I think it's important that we talk about it, because it's something you don't hear very often. And he was saying something to the effect of, you know, everyone said, oh, why isn't player X in the team, right? If only player X was called into this side, X national team would have won that game, or we'd be playing so much better. And one of our astute listeners / readers said, hey, there's a big difference between club form and international form. They're two different things. And just because you're a good club player doesn't mean you'll be a good international player. So just off the top of your head, Corey, can you think through your memory bank of players who would fit that description?
Well, as we were talking about this before we came on air, the first one that popped in my head was Robbie Fowler. Banged in goals for fun at club level at Liverpool. Was pretty iffy. I'm not even sure if he got 15 caps for England. May not even had double-digit caps. Using an Arsenal legend, Ian Wright was another one, you know, who banged in goals for fun at club level, never really did too much at international level. Off the top of my head, that's two. Okay. I know for different reasons, Matt Letizia never really got a look in the England side. You know, England's always got that thing. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, England had the thing where they were scared of the skillful player. So, you know, people like Matt Letizia basically never got a look in, even though, you know, he was arguably one of the most, if not the most technical player, you know, in England at the time. So, yeah, there's different reasons sometimes. But, yeah, like the guy said, club level, international level, not necessarily, you know, the same thing. And they don't necessarily equate to success in each other.
Yeah, because it takes a while to adjust to the international level most of the time. That's a big reason. And then, again, your role for your club, believe it or not, when you go to the international game, you have to make some accommodations, right?
You're not
going to be able to play in your preferred position. Hint, hint, people complaining about a certain thing.
Well, even if you play
your preferred
even if you play your preferred position, yeah, it doesn't mean that the manager has the same coaching philosophy. So,
yeah,
you know, you might be a winger at your club, but you might have to play left midfield with more defensive duties at the international side. Well, guess what? He might pick a fullback or somebody who has better defensive nous, you know, in your stead because, hey, you're a winger and you don't tackle. So, you know, we're only going to throw you on for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, exactly. So there's so many different things that go into this. And as you mentioned in earlier conversations, time and time again, both on and off the air, and this is what we have to get away from in this country, international football is not an all-star team. It's a team. You just can't pick your best 11 players and say, go out there and win. It doesn't work that way. Nobody does that.
And even though it's best to have players that are on form, you can't pick everybody who has a run of form.
Exactly. Yes, that's another thing.
Especially when most of the people who complain about that then turn around and go, well, the lineup doesn't have consistency. Well, if we went your way and picked everybody who has five good games in a row, well, then we wouldn't have consistency, would we?
It'd be a different lineup every week with new guys getting called up for their debut caps, you know, every other tournament or every other game.
Yeah. So it's not an all-star team, and you can't pick everybody who's on form.
So, there we go. I don't know, not much else to add. That made the point. I got that across. And thank you to the unnamed person. I'm sorry I couldn't find your tweet. I know we talked about it, but that was two USA matches ago. So you could imagine the shrapnel that's in the timeline that I had to dig through.
Yeah.
It was pretty ugly, folks. Pretty ugly.
Yeah, because conversely, there's players that are, you know, much better international players than they are club level players too.
Exactly. Yeah. And that works too. Yes. It works both ways. And I do believe that's what I said. You know what? I might be able to find it now in my mentions because I typed in vice versa. Ooh, let me see if we could give credit to this guy. I would like to. You know what? I already closed Twitter. So never mind. So, hey, if you're out there and you're listening,
find it, put it in the message.
Yeah. Send us a message and say, hey, that was me. And we'll give you props. Thank you for that high-level thinking. We like high-level thinkers out in our audience. As Corey nods his head with his mouth open. Agape.
Yeah, sorry, you cut out again, so I didn't hear you kick it back to me.
Oh, okay. You're fine. You're fine. Yeah, we got dodgy internet up there to the Alaska.
It's the melt, man. Everything's going crazy, including the people.
All right. Well, this show's going quickly because we're on track here. So, last topic for today, Corey, and this is a new segment, and we'll get some, if this goes well, and I think it will, and I think I like this. I think I'm going to like this, and I think you'll like it too. So,
Do you like it or just like it?
I like it.
Okay.
Or as I knew, I had a friend who had a daughter, right? And she would always say to me, oh, Chad, I don't like it. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't like this? What's wrong with you? She's like, I don't like it. I love it.
Oh.
Yeah, see? Tricky little girl. Anyway, so yes, I think I may not like this. I may love
probably
this.
Probably a lawyer by now.
This segment. We're going to call this required reading.
Ooh.
Okay, so just something so we may not do this every week, but we'll try to do it.
So this is a segment for people over 30, right? Nobody under 30 reads anymore.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. So we'll find the idea of this segment is, and we'll get some music for it because we do have the sound effect.
I got one suggestion right off the
top. Read a book. We can't do that. Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
Yeah, we can't do that. I thought about that too. We can't play that on the air. But we do have the sound effects team on retainer, and I do believe that we have some money in that account. So I will, if you like this, we'll get an intro for this segment. But this required reading segment is from time to time, week to week, if we find a really good article that's kind of out of the norm that explains something that or it's a very high level of writing, that we'll select it and say, hey, we'll kind of explain it a little bit, but not really. Say, hey, required reading, go ahead, go to 2DraftYanks.com and find the link and read what we think is a good article. So let's get a fanfare for the very first required reading, TDY style. And this one's quite ironic, if you ask me, Corey. This week's, the very first required reading comes to us from the BBC. And earlier in the week, Corey, they have an article that I thought was very interesting entitled Leicester City, How Thailand is Falling in Love with the Foxes. Ooh. So now you and I have always jokingly talked about the Jambos, which we actually found out in Scotland has a pretty derogatory meaning. It's an actual word. We didn't know that. But the Jambo fans, you know, who pile on these teams that have success, and I guess Thailand is that country for Leicester City. They say you can't find a Leicester City jersey, shirt in Thailand. They're all sold out because the country is just going crazy for the Foxes with all these fan clubs and watch parties. So go to the article linked on 2dapyanks.com. It's from the BBC. I think it's good reading. Explains a lot of different things, and it's that this is the modern world, right? A team blows up. They haven't even really won the title yet, but they're already quadrupled their popularity.
Wow. So almost like you can have a club that starts out somewhere lower. People get interested in it and they start buying stuff And the money, like, somehow trickles to the club, almost like an investment. It's weird how that works. You don't.
It is.
So what you're telling me is you don't need billionaires to start clubs and, like, get people interested in it. And when they start, when you give teams chances for success and they take it, people start jumping on board. This is crazy. This madness.
It is crazy. But do you think it's funny? No, I think this is right. I think it's hilarious that this is Thailand, because if it wasn't for a certain set of events that happened in Thailand last year, Leicester City would not be in the situation they are. Did this not happen in Thailand, or was it Cambodia? You don't remember the whole scandal last year with
the Vardy Casino thing?
No, with Nigel Pearson and his son.
Oh yeah. Yeah, see, yeah, see, I see, what am I doing?
Was that in Thailand? I thought it was.
I think you're right. I would have to look it up, but yeah, I think you're correct.
The Leicester sex scandal. Sex sells, and it is selling in Thailand right now.
Well, yeah, and if you want to go to the conspiracy route, maybe that's where they picked up all their doping agents.
Oh, maybe.
Since the conspiracy world says Leicester's lineup is so consistent because they're taking some secret doping agent.
Oh, it's Asia, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be like tiger gallbladder or something crazy.
Yeah, it's ground up. Yeah, ground up tiger gallbladder, put it in a tea, and yeah. So there that is.
All right. So yeah, so head on over to 2dapyanks.com and take a look at a very high quality article from the BBC and about Leicester and their rising popularity in Thailand.
Just wait till they get to the Champions League next year.
Oh, it's gonna be crazy, yeah.
Leicester Champions League watch parties around the world.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, folks. Well, that's going to wrap up the show. And actually, it's not. Let's take a little quick peek at the weekend, because the weekend is here. It is coming.
Yeah, say let's, because I've been so busy at work the last week and a half, I haven't even looked at the schedule.
So let's take a look at the fixtures. Of course, you could go to 2dapyanks.com and look at the fixtures that I've done that just now. It pops up without any pop-up ads and annoying sound. So April 2nd, we'll just run down this weekend's action. Aston Villa will be hosting Chelsea. The very same Aston Villa, Corey, who by mutual consent got rid of their manager, one Remy Gard.
Yeah, like I was saying before, I mean, you know, a situation like that's kind of no lose situation for people like Gard, because, hey, if you get canned or if you don't pull out, or, you know, don't pull out of relegation, you know, you can always go back to your home country, get a job there.
Okay, we'll run down the rest of these really quick. Arsenal will be hosting Watford. Sunderland will be hosting West Brom. Stoke City will be playing Swansea. Norwich will be hosting Newcastle in a relegation six-pointer.
Yeah.
West Ham versus Crystal Palace in a London derby. Bournemouth will be taking on Manchester City. And then the late game and the highlight of Saturday is Liverpool hosting Tottenham Hotspur. It's a pretty tasty matchup there. We'll see what Liverpool team shows up, though, I guess.
Gegenpressen, right? Versus Dele Alli.
Yeah. Sunday, just two games on the lineup. You got first place Leicester will be hosting Southampton, which could be a pretty interesting match. And then your weekend is closed out with Manchester United versus Everton and the Rooney Derby.
Yeah.
And Rooney, is he even healthy? I think he's out. Is he still out?
Yeah, I think he's still out. So,
Rooney-less Derby.
Yeah, so he probably won't need the police protection like he used to when he went back to Everton in his early days.
Yeah. So there's the matchups there. Not a whole lot of great matchups, but, hey, it is the Premier League, and games that you look at on paper and say, have the ability to turn into entertaining matchups.
Well, I say if Norwich and Newcastle is anything like Newcastle and Sunderland a couple weeks ago, you know, that's arguably going to be the best game of the weekend.
It is. That could be a very good match. So there we go. So I guess now that's going to wrap up the show. I guess we had to take a little peek there at the weekend. And I think, I don't know, hopefully maybe Southampton could do something against the Foxes.
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, I'm kind of pulling for Leicester because I don't want you bastards to catch them because we're not catching them.
Interesting. Let's just make things interesting. That's all I want. Let's make this a little fun, huh? Let's see what happens.
No, I don't know. Might take a break and go watch some Aussie rules instead.
Yeah.
since that league just started this past weekend. But yeah, I'm just saying, I just don't want y'all to catch them, you know. It's going to be bad enough not having to be able to celebrate St. Tottenham's Day this year, but, you know, for y'all to win the title, hell no.
Yeah. So, all right, boys and girls. Well, thank you for listening. As always, we'll be back a few days from now. We'll try to do a Sunday show. I don't think there's – oh, you know what? I don't think I can do a Sunday show. Maybe an early Sunday show, Corey.
Ooh, depends on how early.
Yeah, well, early afternoon. We'll see. Might have to be Monday. Anyway, the listeners don't care about this. We'll be back Sunday or Monday. We'll be back to break this all down, and it's going to be fun because who knows what's going to happen. So thank you for listening as always. Enjoy the club football. It's miles better than international football. And we'll be back to talk to you guys soon. So for Corey Chatelain, I'm Chad Smith. We're wishing you a very good weekend.
After watching that playoff, now I see why Miazga doesn't play at Chelsea.
This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at TwoDaftYanks.com or at TwoDaftYanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.